Well, great, Jackie's gonna sit right there in front of me. She better behave herself, that's all I got to say. David was born March 24th, 1924, in a small mining town in western Pennsylvania to John and Matilda. From 1943 to 45, he served in the Army Air Corps as a tail gunner and mechanic on a B-17 in the Pacific Theater during World War II. After the war, he followed his brother George to Detroit, working for Pittsburgh Paints as a night shift manager in the plant. In 1948, he married Rose Tucker and had two children, Linda in 1949 and Bill in 1952. His beloved wife, Rose, died of polio in 1954 while pregnant with their third child. January 1956, he got remarried to Helen Riley. They had twins later in 1956 and a son in 1962. Throughout his life, he worked hard in several small paint factories and supported his wife and children. When his children gathered in Christmas in 1982, he was obviously sick. And after the holidays, he went to the hospital in January, came home and said he was suffering from an ulcer. He returned to work, and from what I understand, never took another day off of work until he was hospitalized again in June. He was diagnosed with lung cancer. I remember sitting with my dad next to his bed in the hospital before returning to Illinois the next morning, intending to return the next weekend to visit again. He died 5 days later before I had the chance to see him again. The question as I pondered his death was, did he love me? Did I love him? Was he a good father? None of which were answered or said during that last visit. Believe me when I say my brief biography really doesn't even begin to highlight the painful facts of his life. He never recovered from his broken heart as a result of the death of Rose, his first wife. Despite his consistent hard work at factories, he lived paycheck to paycheck throughout his life. But I can tell you, he did always provide for his wife of 28 years and his five children. Other than always being at work and going to church every Sunday morning, he consistently drank himself to sleep every night as he medicated the pain that I now understand was a central theme of his life. So let me ask you, was my dad a good father? Did he love me? Did I love him? The unanswered questions from our last meeting beside his hospital bed. This morning, we'll try to answer these questions this morning as we talk about how to measure fathers, including you and me, in a way that will bring honor to this most important role that any of us could have. Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. I guess I kind of started out on a tough, heavy start. But it's to help me get to our end point, which is this is a day to honor the men who guide, protect, and love us, shaping lives in a way that echoes God's heart. Fatherhood is a holy calling. How do you lose your place that quickly? Today, we'll explore what it means to be godly fathers, and more than that, we'll honor you, your fathers, for their decades of faithfulness, drawing from Scripture in a powerful moment from the Survivor show. Yes, I got on this Survivor kick during Sunday school this spring, and apparently it's not over yet. We don't know what's going to happen. The Bible paints a vivid picture of fatherhood most clearly through our Heavenly Father, Psalms 103, we read, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Compassion, strength, guidance are the hallmarks of fatherhood, reflecting God's relationship with us. Yet being a dad isn't always smooth sailing. It demands patience, sacrifice, and unwavering faith in a world that tests families every day. We'll focus this morning on three traits of a godly father: leading with love, sacrificing for family, and pointing to faith. From my experience, fatherhood has made me better, and in general, I believe it makes men better. It's easy for men to be wrapped up in their own needs and focus on what we want out of life. But once you set your eyes on your first child, that all changes. I cried when Zach was born. No surprise to anyone who knows me. This transition plays out again when you touch your first grandchild. We were designed to be fathers. This morning, we'll see these traits of a godly father in Scripture, in our lives, and yes, in some survivor clicks. As we begin, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of fatherhood. Bless the fathers and the young men who will someday be fathers that are here today. Guide us to reflect your love and wisdom. Speak through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The first trait of a godly father is leading with love. Love isn't just warm feelings. It's a choice, a commitment, an action. 1 Corinthians 13, we read, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." This is a father's playbook. A dad's love is patient during tantrums, kind in correction, and the protector when danger looms. Now let's take a look at the parable of the prodigal son, and today we'll focus on the father. His youngest son demands his inheritance, a real slap in the dad's face, like saying, "I'd rather you were gone." The son leaves, wastes everything, and hits rock bottom. Yet when he returns, the father doesn't lecture or punish. Luke records that while his son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. That's love, extravagant, forgiving, and relentless. I felt a bit like the father of the prodigal on Zetham's 18th birthday. Building up to that date is a several year long journey that really made it impossible for him to continue living with us. Many of you know the stories and heartbreak that Zetham, Zach, Zeb, Jackie, and I endured during his teen years. His 18th birthday would be our biggest act of tough love. The week before his birthday, I was home alone, and he was probably at work, and I'm sure Jackie was here in Rockford. I went to his room to pray for him. I sat down on his bed, and I sobbed as I thought about what would happen in a few days on his 18th birthday. That day arrived. He packed all his things in a new suitcase we had bought him. I walked him out the front door, down the driveway, and hugged him as I prayed and sent him on his way. He had nowhere to go to live, but we had warned him a long time before that this day was going to come. He had a job, and he would just have to make his own way into adulthood. So I have a minute to recover. Let's look at a clip from Survivor. And in this season, 28, the show features a loved one's visit, a moment where contestants are reunited with their family. Tony Flachos, a tough-talking police officer, is surprised when his friend instead of his wife arrives for the visit. But the real emotional weight comes when we see other players with their families. In a confessional, Tony reflects on the visit, sharing how seeing others with their loved ones, especially fathers with their kids, reminds him of his own daughter waiting at home. His raw emotions reveals a father's heart driven by love. This story resonates because it mirrors a father's role, to be a steady presence even when life feels like a competition. Dads, your love is an anchor. Whether it's cheering at a track meet, helping with homework, just being there after a hard day, or sometimes even taking a strong step of tough love when that's what's needed. Your presence says to your kids, you matter. Like Tony's resolve to fight for his daughter, your love pushes you to show up day after day. Finally, our love demands our time. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, these commandments that I give to you are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now this transfer of God's word to your children assumes that you're there to spend time with them, sitting, walking, living with your kids. Dads, I'd encourage you to unplug from distractions. These moments build a legacy of love. Now, I did a little bit of spending some time with one of my sons when Zeb and I went to Disney after he graduated from high school. Now, I have to admit, growing up, I probably spent the least amount of time with him because he was a good boy and he was easy. He didn't demand too much, and I'm sure we spent a lot less money on him than we did on the oldest son, which shall remain nameless. Because he had more expensive things he wanted. But Zeb, generally, you'd ask him what he wanted for Christmas, and he'd have some goofy thing or some cheap toy. It was really all he wanted. So I had taken a school trip with both Zach and Zeb, so I asked Zeb, would you like to go on a trip with me? And I said, where would you like to go? And he said, Disney. So we went, and I think he'll agree that we had a blast. He's shaking his head. That's a good boy. We did all the things, riding all the rides, the teacups for starters, and then we worked our way all the way up to the biggest roller coaster in the park. We had a great experience spending time together, father and son. The second trait of a godly father is sacrificing for family. Fatherhood calls us to be selfless, putting our family first, even when it costs us. Jesus set a high standard in John 15 when he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down your life for your friends. Most dads won't face literal death, but every day offers chances to lay down your plans, comfort, and your comfort, and lay down your pride for your kids. Dads and granddads, and I am using those two words interchangeably this morning because I know that it looks like some of you are more to the granddad side of things now, but I do know that you've had a great heritage. What are you giving up for your family? Maybe it's sleep to coach a team, money to pay for braces, or time to pray with your kids. Sacrifice is not always flashy, but it's profound. It tells your kids and grandchildren they're worth your all. Lastly, sacrifice demands discipline. In Hebrews, we read, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? Discipline shapes their character. And we get this promise in Proverbs. Start your children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Your time and patience in correcting with love builds the foundation. The third trait of a godly father is pointing to faith. A father's greatest gift isn't money or success, it's leading your family to God. Joshua 24, we read, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This challenges us dads to anchor our homes in faith. Here's another little a little clip of Tony from Survivor, because we got to get our Survivor time on. And he offers insight into staying close with his wife and child while he's on Survivor Island. Tony's kind of cute. He tries to be a tough guy, but as you see in behind-the-scenes videos, he's quite a sweetheart. In a later interview, Tony shared how his Catholic faith and family values kept him grounded, even in the game's chaos. His drive to win for his daughter wasn't just about money, it was about purpose, a desire to honor his family. Fathers, you point to faith by living with conviction, whether it's praying together, serving others, or trusting God through trials. Your example plants eternal seeds. Pointing to faith means teaching God's word. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." We share Bible stories, explain our beliefs, answer their questions. Your honesty makes faith relatable, not forced. And finally, pointing to faith means mirroring God's fatherhood. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Dads, our love reflects God's love. Our forgiveness shows his mercy. Our provision echoes his care. Even when we stumble, if we seek his grace, it points our kids to God. None of this means fatherhood is for the faint of heart. Here's a note I wrote to myself a few years back while I waited in the airport to leave on a mission trip to Africa several years ago. The note said, "Started my trip with a phone call to my favorite African-American, Zetham. I do love the boy, but he has made so many bad decisions that I don't know if he'll ever find his way back to a good life. I cried as I sat in my comfortable United Club chair praying for him. He was on the streets of Peoria, begging for money outside the Hardee's. Off on my American adventure without Zetham. Oh, how I wish he could have come with me." I cried again this week when I reread this note. And then I came across another conversation that I had with one of our sons by text. I believe it was a significant event in his life. Now, I can't say that he would agree that it was a big deal. Honestly, he has not to this day lived up to the hope that he would live a life full of faith in God. Dads, it's hard to admit, but we don't have that much control. We just have to set that illusion aside and hang on to God, who has been faithful my entire life. My job and your job as fathers is to also be faithful. That's the final measure of a godly father. Anyway, here's the text. Just a little slice of talking together about pointing a son to faith. I texted him after looking at his Facebook and said, "Why does your status say, 'I'm just amazed'? Are you writing more lyrics? Or are you having a spiritual revival? Or is it just a random thought?" The son answered, "I believe tonight was life-changing." And I said, "Very cool. In what way?" He said, "I don't even know how to explain it. But I believe that since I've been here, and especially tonight, God spoke to me, and I think I'm a changed person." I said to him, "I'm glad to hear that. It's all part of growing up, like you are, to experience God for yourself, not just because your parents always took you to church. I'm proud of you. I think this will just be the beginning of something good." And he said, "I think so too." The heart of a godly father shines through leading with love, sacrificing for our family, and pointing to faith. The prodigal son's father has shown us. These Bible verses are teaching us. And Tony's little clips from Survivor remind us that fatherhood reflects God's character. Dads, you don't need perfection, just faithfulness. Your love, sacrifice, and faith shape generations. To those without a father or with a painful memories of fatherhood, God is your father. Psalm 68:5 calls God a father to the fatherless. His love never falters. To every dad here, keep pressing on. God equips you for this calling. Now let's get back to the questions that we ask at the beginning of the message based on my last visit with my dad at his hospital bedside. Did my father love me? Did I love him? Was he a good father? I think you can see by the measures that we outlined this morning, leading with love, sacrificing for family, and pointing to faith, that I can answer, yes, he was. Was he flawed? Certainly. Was he perfect? Not even slightly. But he was faithful to us as his family. So I'll say that God, working through him, he was a good father. Dads, I want you to know this morning, I've watched you. I got my eyes on you. Many of you I've known almost 20 years, and I know that you have been faithful. You have loved your family, you've sacrificed for them, and you have pointed them to faith. Are some of our children struggling? Yes, they are. Are some of them lost and far away from God? And maybe far away from us too? Yes, that's true. But just like the father of this prodigal son, you wait. You will love them when they return, and you will continue to be faithful. Look around the room. What do you see? Faithful men, a great group of fathers, many of whom are also having a significant impact in the lives of their grandchildren. Hold your heads high today, because you have been faithful just as our Father in heaven has been faithful to us. Let me close in prayer. Lord, thank you for being our perfect Father. Empower the fathers here to lead with love, sacrifice with joy, and point their families to faith in you. Heal those hurting today and fill us with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked Jackie to sing the next song because when I heard it, it reminded me of God's faithfulness. It talks about the goodness of God and how faithful God is. And as we walk with our faithful God, we too have the capacity, and many of you have shown the capacity to also be faithful. So as we sing this, we celebrate our fathers today.